I'm Paul Wiegraf, director of the Delaware Division of the Arts, and your host for today. Joining me in the studio today is lyrical wordsmith and music phenom Richard Raw, a celebrity in the greater Wilmington area. Richard, it's great to have you joining us today.
It's good to be here.
You certainly have a varied art style, from hip-hop to spoken word and funk, and you blend soul into that.
Absolutely.
For our listeners who aren't familiar with you and haven't seen you at the Queen Theater and some of the other local venues, tell us a little bit about your background. How did you come into the art forms that you use today?
Well, you know, I'm traditionally a hip-hop artist. That's what I was known as for a long time. I just fell in love because hip-hop is a culture. You know, it's about the way you dress, the way you talk, the way you walk, and the way you handle situations. And so I always loved it because it was about rebellion. So from hip-hop, you know, hip-hop was born from these other art forms, soul, jazz, funk. And so hip-hop led me into understanding funk, led me into understanding soul. And so that's kind of where I'm at now. And I'm going back to the roots of hip-hop in terms of where it came from and what inspired it. So now that is inspiring me.
Now, who are some of your inspirations, both from the past, from the present?
Oh, as a myriad. John Coltrane, Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye, Dizzy Gillespie. You know, those are the artists that I truly enjoy. You know, and I think Stevie Wonder is probably one of the greatest writers that I've ever had an opportunity to hear. So I listen to that music constantly because it inspires me. It taught me how to talk about social issues and be more of an activist and not just an entertainer.
Now, you mentioned your activism, that which was my next question. You were also identified as a community activist.
Yes.
Where does that come from, and how did that evolve? Did that precede your interest in hip-hop, or, you know, what's that relationship?
Well,
there?
I think it was my mother. My mother was, she ran a community center when she was, you know, when I was young. She ran a community center on the east side of Wilmington, and she made me volunteer my time, and she was working with underprivileged children, and, you know, just being in that environment, it just taught me about how many people don't have the things that we have. You know, I was fortunate enough to have a mother and a father, and, you know, seeing some of the community that didn't have that foundation. And so it inspired me, and I knew that working with her and volunteering my time, doing this for free, it just taught me that, you know, my voice and my gift needs to be for those who don't have a voice. And so it was a natural progression. And I said, you know what, I want to speak for them and I want to work with them in order to bring them up and inspire them.
It sounds like the two sort of evolved together.
They evolved, yeah. Absolutely.
Now, what kind of, how did you learn these art forms that you use, the hip hop in particular?
You know, just as a, my sister, when we moved from the west side of Wilmington to the northeast, she fell in love with hip hop. So naturally, monkey see, monkey do. Mm-hmm. I tried to do it and I was just really great at it. You know, I was great at putting words together. And even as a child, being inquisitive, asking my mother, what does this word mean? What does that? And she gave me a dictionary and then she gave me the encyclopedia. And I used to just look up words because I was so fascinated with language in itself. And I think putting that language in rhythm is what intrigued me. You know, Dr. Seuss, I used to recite Dr. Seuss all the time. So, you know, I think it was just natural. I think I was born, you know, with this gift and I cultivated that gift over time.
Now, do you also do your hip hop with music background?
Yes, absolutely. I do both. One of the things I'm exploring now is, you know, the African drums. Mm-hmm. We've been doing. I have an upcoming show in Philadelphia in November, and I'm going to have all African drums, and I'm going to do kind of a hip hop poetic kind of mix and blend. So that's what I love doing. Genre melding is what I call my music, where I take jazz and I take hip hop, and you take a funk and you just fuse it all together. And to me, you know, it satisfies a broad audience. You know, it's not so pigeonholed. Mm-hmm. So that's what I love doing.
Now, let's talk for a minute about hip hop itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's clearly a prevalent art form today.
Absolutely.
And an important art form. But I think sometimes it's misrepresented.
Absolutely.
Could you speak to that and how you use hip hop in a positive way and to sort of counter some of the negative connotations that hip hop sometimes gets?
Absolutely. Hip hop is to me a classical African American art form, and I think what has happened is, you know, the earlier artists used to speak about the conditions of the neighborhood, and they were the CNN of our neighborhood. And so I think the business, what the problem is now, the business trumps the art. And so artists are now just looking for a way to get paid. And the industry itself needs these artists. They're all just trying to make a paycheck. And so the art form suffers. And so you have some of the least talented artists who are getting the biggest push and getting the more finance, you know, more financial aid in back of them. So I think that's what the problem is with hip hop. But as I'm showing and breaking barriers in this city has didn't embrace hip hop when I was really trying to make a name for myself. It was very difficult. But if you look at like the Art and Concert Hall, you know, I was the first hip hop artist there, breaking ground in the Delaware Contemporary and the Delaware, the Art Museum. These are all places I've developed this beautiful relationship with and showed them the power that hip hop has when it's used constructively. So I say hip hop is like fire. You know, fire can be used to cook food or to burn a house down. It's how you use it. Mm-hmm. And that's how I view hip hop.
It's interesting to hear you talk. What I'm hearing is the commercialization of hip hop,
yes,
which has been kind of contributed to that negative.
Absolutely. The commercialization of hip hop has definitely caused the art form to suffer. Mm-hmm. And so you have artists who are not taking the time to go over their lyrics, you know, and you know, they're following trends. And for me, I'm always editing my lyrics and going over my lyrics to make sure that this is something that is constructive. That's something that when I put it out there, you know, it's just going to make a positive impact. And that was what we did in the earlier days. And again, the commercialization of hip hop, we've lost a lot. And so, you know, I'm one of those voices fighting to regain that power.
Now, as an artist, how would you characterize your creative process? How do you go about creating a new hip hop piece?
For me, I'm so diverse, and what I mean by that is one night you may catch me at, you know, I may be at Bobby Ryan's down on Market Street, or I might be at the Logan House another night. So I'm in so many different circles, getting so much different perspective, you know, and that's what goes into my music. You know, I may get a different perspective if I'm in a different area. And so, you know, you see me everywhere. And so that's what fuels my music, you know. Wow, you're dealing with similar issues that this community is dealing with. Wow, these are similar issues, and how can I speak about the issues both of these communities are having, and then how can we bridge, you know, that conversation, and so that we have some commonality and work together, you know, to solve issues and problems. So that's how I use my music to unite. You know, the audiences that we play for, so diverse. And politicians, there's white, there's black, there's Asian, there's Latino. I mean, little kids, elders. I mean, it's beautiful. And I'm just, you know, I'm just on a high.
Now, as with hip hop, and you're sometimes described as a spoken word artist.
Right.
I mean, there's a whole range of the presentation of the written word,
right,
from your more traditional coffee house poetry reading to what you do, the spoken word, the hip hop, which is more integrates music more.
Yes.
It is more, for lack of a better word, theatrical.
Absolutely.
In a way.
Yes.
Could you speak to that and how that all fits into that spectrum of presenting poetry?
Yeah, really? I mean that is, you know, one I'm thinking about, you know, learn, you know, being an actor in that field, because that's what we do when we put on a present. And I can speak for myself when I put on a presentation. You know, it's a huge presentation. I use a live band. I may use some violins. You know, and then how it's almost a play on stage. If anybody has seen Richard Raw perform, it's almost like a play because I have so many things coming in and out. And I think that is where we are evolving as artists in general. I think artists themselves are evolving into this theatrical musical realm, and I think it's all becoming one. You know, when you see the Beyoncés and the Michael Jacksons, they are like acting, you know, it's almost like, wow, like this is amazing, because they're taking all of this and they're melding it together. And that's, I think that's the evolution of music in general.
Well, I want to pursue your art form further, but first let's remind our listeners that you are tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Our guest in the studio today is Richard Raw, lyrical wordsmith and music phenom, community activist.
Yes.
Richard, we've been talking about the art form. Let's turn to sort of the themes of your work. I mean, as a community activist, where do you draw your themes from? Are there specific themes that you tend to pursue more deeply or more
absolutely
frequently than others?
Yeah, and I would say dispossessed people, you know, oppressed people, more of those, like I said, those who don't have a voice, those who are living in poverty or dealing with mental issues. I try to understand where they're coming from and how I can give voice to some of their concerns. And I mean, you know, dealing, going in and out of, let's say, for instance, the Rick Van Story Research Resource Center, you know, where people are in transition, whether coming home from prison or dealing with some mental issues, and just having the opportunity to go and just talk to them, you know, constantly, it just drives me, you know. And I'm like, wow, like, how can I give voice to that concern? Because a lot of us, we go through our daily life and we don't take into consideration somebody flipping out. Something may have happened to them. They may have a mental issue. And sometimes we just don't take that into consideration. And so that fuels my art.
You talked earlier about a couple of the different venues where you've appeared.
Yes. I'd
like to pursue that a little more.
Okay.
Sort of how, who do you reach out to? How do you reach out to them? How are you finding your ability to connect to venues in Washington?
I was rejected quite a bit early on. And I understood that, you know, I was frustrated and upset at first, but I realized that, yes, there has been some bad representation of hip hop as an art form. And so I knew I had to work hard. And so one of the first places that embraced me was the Art and Concert Guild. Mm-hmm. And big shout out to Ron and all of them over there. I love going over there. But for them to embrace me, they actually invited me one day to an event that they were having. And they wanted some diversity. And so I performed and they loved it. And so they invited me back officially to do a show. And it was so beautiful. And the people really, really, really embraced it. And I think that's what, when you look out into an audience, and real talk, this young black guy looking out into an older white audience, right? The people around me, my team, were like, what is get ready to happen? They're not going to understand. But at the end, they were all coming up like, wow, this was really good. And that in itself just caused me to, from that opportunity, I think the Queen took notice, you know, and I was able to go to the Queen and say, I want to do a show. And they took that chance based on, you know, me working in with the Arden Concert Guild. So, you know, people are coming to me now, and I think it's because we proved ourselves. And so, you know, when we're at the DCCA or the Delaware Art Museum, you know, they actually are reaching out and saying, how can we work together? Because, you know, they enjoy what we do. They think it's positive, and it crosses barriers.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you perform at, say, the Delaware Contemporary Delaware Art Museum, that's an interesting connection because,
yes.
I mean, the Delaware Contemporary, I mean, they feature contemporary artists. Delaware Art Museum, a more traditional museum.
Right.
But they've clearly been expanding their programming.
Absolutely.
How do you, or how do they, and how do you together make that connection between two art forms that are quite different?
It's interesting. One of the things that we are doing is we are trying to allow the community to let the community understand that these spaces can access these spaces. And sometimes it's difficult because many of these organizations and many of these places don't have the in to some of the community. And so they can't directly get them. And so, but if we work together and they're providing the venue and they allow us to reach out and bring new people into the space, those people are coming not only for the show that we're putting on or the symposium that we're doing, but now they're looking around saying, wow, look at this art. Look at this. And we're just trying to show them this is accessible to you. And I understand that we have to use different mediums to bring you to this space. So that's what I'm doing. I look at all the places like World Cafe Live. The beauty is we took a poll and we're looking at so many new people that we've brought to the Queen who are now they're coming back. And so, you know, I think working together is the solution. I think we cannot remain isolated in our own spaces. We really have to be non-traditional in our approach because we are one community, you know, mm-hmm. we're one community. And, like I said, we're dealing with similar issues in different fashions and forms, but that's been the beauty of working in those spaces, mm-hmm. commonality.
Yeah. Now what I hear you talking about, the term that's going through my head is that hip hop as an art form, I think, frequently is identified as having a sort of a niche audience, you know, a pretty narrow audience. Mm-hmm. But what I'm hearing you say is that there's really a universality to hip hop.
Absolutely.
That it really has something to convey across the board.
It's so beautiful. Look at President Obama, for instance. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's brought in many hip hop artists into the White House. And, you know, he campaigned and really got in because of the hip hop community, because the hip hop artists, we're walking advertisements, mm-hmm. right? We're always advertising something. And so I just think the embrace of the culture in a positive and constructive way, it solves so much, so many issues. I have a program, before we go on a little bit, I have a program called Beyond Those Bars, and this is a supplemental education program. And in those 12 weeks, I'm dealing with young students between the ages of 12 and 14, and they learn how to write songs, but I'm critiquing them on reading, writing, confidence, communication, character, life skills, and at the end, they're creating a music video based on the critical issues in their community. So they have to work collectively, but they also are working as individuals. You know, and with these are life skills. You're going to have to learn how to work as an individual when you're out of school and an adult. You'll learn where you have to, okay, I have to make some concessions here, you know, even though this is something I really believe in. And so we're really giving them the skills that will carry on in life. And we're using hip hop to do it.
I loved for you to continue in that vein. We've been talking a lot about your art form and your performing, but you've mentioned a really powerful example of how you're using this to teach and to educate young
yes.
people. Could you speak a little more about some of the other activities you're engaged in besides the performance of your hip hop?
Absolutely. We also do symposiums. We just had a symposium on the Black Arts Movement, and you'd be surprised, a lot of people aren't aware that when the Black Power Movement was at its height, you also had a Black Arts Movement that was the sister to it. And this was, you know, artists that weren't allowed. Again, it speaks to this. They weren't allowed in certain venues, and so they had to create their own. And so there was like this harvesting and this energy that they were creating with this Black art that was beautiful. And so we are doing symposiums on the Black Arts Movement, on what it was, the frustrations they had as artists getting into places. And so we're following that pattern, like, how can we change the narrative when we are ousted or we're not allowed in? How do we find a way in, you know, and show people how beautiful this art was? So that's one of the things that we do. I work with, you know, we give out clothes in the community constantly. We just walk through, give out clothes, water, just different things like that. That's where people say, you're an activist. And I'm always speaking about the exploitation of the artist, because I think here we have to be careful so the artists aren't exploited and used without being compensated, without being credited. And I think a lot of that is going to happen, and I see some of that happening here in Wilmington. And so I've been very vocal about it, and of course, you know, being vocal about it, you know, a lot of people don't like you to be vocal about certain things, but I have been very vocal and strong, and we have the influence to make it stick. So this is one of the things I'm fighting for the artist, so you're not exploited. Also, teaching the artist how to monetize off of your gift and off of your art. And I think a lot of artists lose that. So now myself and Jason Aviles, we're working on building this program that will bring artists in, and so they would have an opportunity to learn how to set up an LLC or a corporation or whatever suits your business needs. We want the artists to be able to accept the opportunities that come. But in order to accept those opportunities, you have to be in a space where your business is right.
And as you mentioned earlier, there's a balance there between monetizing what you do and avoiding the pitfalls of commercialization.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And that is like you said, everything is imbalanced.
Yeah.
And we
yeah.
teach them that as well.
Yeah. Well, we've got about a minute and a half left.
Okay.
I understand you also do some recording. Could you speak
yes.
to that?
Yes. I know how to run a studio, mix, master. Anything that I'm involved in, I try to get myself in it. And so with the program, I bring a makeshift studio to the students, and they're learning the art of recording, you know, how to set up the mic and you know, how to use the different programs. So I'm well versed on that as well.
And you have your own album that came out recently.
Yes, Word Warrior just came out. You can go to www.richardraw.com and you can actually listen to snippets, watch videos, and find out what we're doing. Also, with the program, we are enrolling students. So if you know a student that may be interested between the age of 12 and 14, please link to my website. Send us a message, and Cultural Restoration Project is the nonprofit that I work under, so we'll be able to point you in the right direction.
So we've got about 30 seconds left. Any final words?
I will say thank you for having me. You know, this is beautiful. I'm always appreciative of these type of opportunities because I know that, you know, there was a time when we couldn't get these opportunities. So I'm very appreciative of you stepping outside the box and giving us this opportunity. So thank you. And Wilmington, my birthday was yesterday.
Well, happy birthday.
Yes, yes. So Wilmington, you know, we love you. Garvey City. We call Wilmington Garvey City. So thank you very much.
Great. Well, Richard, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
All right.